relationship we have with a real person. It's not religion. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with a person. And I was weak one time. A long time ago, I was weak and sick until I met Jesus. I was sin sick, I was weak, and I was dying. And I met Jesus Christ, and He filled that longing and that void in my life. And I ain't been the same since. Thank God. Thank God that I met Him. Daniel chapter 2, if you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to read a couple of verses this morning. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 25. I'm not going to read this whole story because I'm not going to really preach about this story. I'm just going to take a verse and preach out of that verse, verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man in the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen? And the interpretation thereof. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show to the king. He said, all the witches and the weirdos and all the soothsayers and the astrologers and all them people can't answer that dream you had. He said, they can't answer it. But look what he said in verse number 8. He said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And I'm not going to preach about the dream or the interpretation, but I want to preach out of that phrase that Daniel said. He said, there is a God in heaven. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. There is a God in heaven. We're living in a day and age now like we've never seen before. But there is a God in heaven. The atheists and the humanists claim that there is no God. But there's three things that declare that they're wrong. First of all, there's conscience. Your conscience proves that there's a God. Atheists prove that their conscience, it tells that there's a God. Their conscience is bothering them. Every atheist I've ever talked to, you can tell their conscience is bothering them. If I didn't believe in something, it wouldn't bother me. That thing that didn't exist wouldn't bother me, correct? But it bothers them that thing that don't exist keeps bothering them. For someone not to exist, why does it bother them so much to believe that thing that don't exist exists? Does that make any sense? Why does it bother them so much that we believe in something that's not there? Crazy, ain't it? If it don't exist, why does it bother you? Amen. It's not costing them anything. We're not sending anybody to hell since it does not exist. We're living a clean life, so we're not destroying ourselves. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. He is not convinced. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceived, so he's really not convinced there's no God. And that's why it's bothering him in his conscience. He's not trying to prove to us anything. He's trying to prove to himself there's no God. I remember one time we met these two young punks at a Pizza Hut, and our middle son was working there. I'll never forget this. And then we was witnessing these boys, and one of them said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in all that junk. They're just barely old enough to have a little peach fuzz on their face. They wasn't real men. They couldn't grow a beard. They just put milk on, let the cat lick it off. And we was sitting there waiting, and Drake was, he's waiting for his break. He's going to come out and talk to us. And that boy said, no, I don't believe in none of that junk. I don't believe in God. And Debbie said, well, what if, she said, well, let me ask you a question. She said, what if you're right and we're wrong? What does it hurt for us to believe in God and go to church and believe the Bible and live right, live clean? We don't drink, we don't smoke dope, we don't take pills, and we just live clean and we die and there's nothing out there. He said, well, nothing, I don't guess. She said, what if we're right and you're wrong? And his buddy said, uh-huh, she got you there. She said, what if we're right, you're wrong, you die, you go to hell, we go to heaven. He said, I ain't never thought about that. She said, that makes you a fool then, don't it? He said, oh, busted. Oh, you're busted. Or his buddy. Here's what I'm saying. They hadn't really thought it through. So their conscience is telling them that there really is a God, but their conscience is bothering them. Not only that, but common sense tells you that there's a God. If there was no God, then an atheist would have to say, I know everything, and there's not anything that I don't know. Some of them do act like that, but they really don't say that. A genuine atheist would have to say that he knew absolutely everything there is to know about everything to say that there is no God. That would make him God. There are too many unanswered questions for an atheist. He can't answer them. Can't do it. I mean, an atheist can't explain to you. He can't explain. He can't explain all the things of the universe and all the things of creation and everything there is to know about all the stuff of nature and all that stuff. An atheist can't answer it. Can't do it. Too many common sense. I mean, brother, you can go to the deepest, darkest jungle in Africa. Listen, brother, you can go to places where they've never got books. I'm like a library full of books, and you can go to places where they've never seen Christianity, never heard of a Bible, never seen a white man. And then you'll go there, and they're worshiping something upwards, up. They're always worshiping something up there. It might be the sun or a star, or they might be worshiping a bird, but they're worshiping. They know there's something or someone up there higher than us. And they're heathens. They can't even talk, can't barely put one foot in front of the other, but they got sense enough to know that a bird lays an egg, you crack it open and eat it. And they know that they're young. That's their babies, and they raise them and take care of them. Atheists can't explain that to you. Common sense. Creation. Conscience. Common sense. Creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. That proves, brother, the creation proves that atheists really don't believe there's no God. He telleth the number of stars and calleth them by their name. In other words, galaxies on average have between 100 billion and 1 trillion numbers of stars. There's no atheist in the world can explain how that happened. No way they can explain that. The scientists say, I preached on this one time, y'all remember a while back, that they can't number how many stars they are. It'd be easier to count the grains of sand on every beach on planet Earth than to number how many stars in the universe. Scientists can't explain it, how they got there. But the Bible said God put them all out there, and He named every one of them. They all got their name. By Him were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, they're all His. Now listen, God didn't have to make the sky a beautiful blue color, but He did. Now listen, if it all got here by accident, how come the sky ain't just an ugly, dull, dingy color? He didn't have to make the leaves turn a beautiful array of colors in the fall. Why does that happen? God just decided, well, I'm going to make the sky a pretty blue color for them people to look at. I'm going to make, when the leaves turn in the fall and everything dies, I'm going to make them turn a beautiful, just a burst of orange and red and yellow. I'm going to blow their minds when everything starts. I'm just going to throw something wild at them. Me and Candace were riding our horses one day down the trail, and it was a beautiful, I mean, it was just a sunset. We was looking, I said, Candace, I said, you reckon God just sat down one day when He made a sunset, and you reckon He just really thought of it? She said, no, it's just probably an everyday deal for Him. Hey, man, that's right, brother. I'm telling you, brother, I thank God that creation showed that He didn't have to make flowers look the way they did, but He did. That's creation. I want to say this, number one, I want those few things, but there is a God in heaven. That's my introduction. First of all, I want to say, remember in times of sorrow and trouble, there is a God in heaven. In times of trouble and sorrow, listen, there's a God in heaven. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. When you have trouble and you have sorrow and things come your way and you just can't explain it, and you just seem like you just worry, and you got a heavy burden on you, and you got a weight. The weight of the world is on you. You seem like you just—I don't know. You just—it's more than you can stand, and it seems like life just didn't work out the way you planned. And you got your life all figured out. You got it planned out, and you got it mapped out. This is the way I'm going to do it. Hello, but listen, brother. It just didn't work out that way, and life just seemed to throw you a curveball. And you look back over your life and say, "This didn't work the way I planned it." Oh, but listen. listen, I want to tell you what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember, in times of sorrow and trouble, there is a God in heaven. God's not gone anywhere. He's not weak. He's not sick. He's not tired. Listen, God's not dead. Listen to me this morning. There is a God in heaven that cares about you. You got to remember that. I remember in Acts 16, the Bible said those preachers were over there and they was preaching. The Bible said, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Sawn them. In times of sorrow and trouble, we all know we're going to have trouble. You ever look back over your life? I know when you're young, you may not have these experiences. But sometimes when you get middle age, you look back at your life and you say, my soul, things, I've had some crazy things happen in my life. In my young age, there may be some of you here this morning, or some of you might hear this over the radio and say, my goodness, preacher, I'm only 30-some years old, or I'm not even 40 yet, and I've been married 3 times, or maybe I've got 3 kids by a couple of different daddies, and I'm not knocking that. I know things happen. I understand that. A lot of people's had that happen. Listen, don't beat yourself up. I'm not putting you down. I'm saying in times of trouble and sorrow, when the weight of the world's on your heart is broken, don't go to bed at night miserable and thinking about killing yourself. When you're in times of sorrow and trouble, remember there's a God in heaven that loves you just because you're scarred and stained with sin and you've had trouble and had bad things happen to you. That don't mean God looks at you any different. As a matter of fact, you're the very one He died for. God specializes in the impossible. God didn't put a church right here on the corner just for nice people. It's for shattered lives and broken pieces. I hope our church never gets to the point where we act like, well, them people's a little bit dingy looking for us. If it gets that way, I'm checking out. Amen, brother. If it gets to that point where people look too dirty and too grungy and too messed up and too broken, and then people's been divorced, we don't want them, and then people's got the orphan kids and we don't want them, and they got stepkids and we don't want them, bless God Almighty, half of us can pack up and leave and go somewhere else. I don't want to be a part of a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites, a bunch of Pharisees, bless God, because God the Holy Ghost is going to be gone. I want to go where He's at. Brother, listen, in time of sorrow and suffering and trouble, remember there's a God in heaven that cares about people. I'll say secondly, remember in the hour of temptation, there's a God in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:13 said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm faced with. Yeah, I do understand. You think just because I'm a preacher, I ain't never been tempted? You think just because us preachers, you think we're holy men? You think, what about all them preachers I talked about in Sunday school? Every one of them been through stuff. Amen. Every one of them. Abraham lied. David committed adultery. Moses was a murderer. All down the line, every one of them did something crazy. Everybody's been tempted. God didn't tempt them, but we are tempted and drawn away by what? Our own lust. We're all human, brother. We've all got our vices. We've all got our problems. We all have our own lust. And we're all tempted and drawn away by our own lust. We all wake up in the morning with this old flesh grabbing at us and pulling at us. But there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man and woman. Don't wake up in the morning and say, well, I'm the only one this ever happened to. No, you ain't. You ain't special. You ain't particular. I mean, you're not special at all. Don't wake up in the morning and say, well, nobody else has had this happen to them before. Yeah, they have. That's why you should pray and seek God. And if necessary, seek counsel. Talk to somebody else who's been down that road. It might surprise you who's been down that road before that can help you. You might talk to somebody that you might think has never had even committed a sin before. And they might say, yeah, I've been down that road before too. Are you serious? Yeah. I might have been a blackjack dealer in Vegas for all you know. You don't ever know that. Yeah, so you're laughing. You don't know that. How do you know? Y'all ain't known me for 4 years. How do you know what I used to do in my past life? Serious. That's crazy, ain't it? Ah, that's funny, preacher, but what if you really didn't know? I mean, it might shock me some of the stuff I know about some of y'all. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you did last week. I might want to pack up and leave today. How what I'm saying is there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God will give you grace and God will help you. There's a God in heaven, brother. When that temptation comes. So, preacher, I just couldn't, there was no escape. You didn't read that right. There was an escape. Preacher, you just don't understand. This guy told me one time he left his wife for another woman. Well, he left his wife for a girl. This guy's 40 years old, left his wife for a little girl. She was 19. He said, well, I just can't leave her, preacher. He said, I just can't quit running around with her. I said, yeah, you can. You can do it. You just won't do it. Your problem is you're enjoying it too much. You're having fun. But I told him, I said, you're going to crash and burn. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying this morning? I've been preaching this and preaching it. People listen and they sit and look at you and nod their head. But then they go out there and do it thinking it ain't going to happen. But you will crash and burn. There's a payday down the road. And I told this little boy, I said, you will pay. Everybody does. David did. Solomon did. I will. You will. Nobody gets by. Nobody. You pay now or later, you're going to pay. Sin will find you out. Nobody gets away with it. I said, you're going to pay for this. And he just tried to make out like, well, whatever, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Guess what happened? He paid. Big time. Big time. I mean, I ain't going to tell you the details. It's sickening. It's awful. His life is ruined for the rest of his life. The rest of his natural life is gone, son. Over a 19-year-old girl, the girl's gone. She's out of the picture. She's with another guy. And his life's gone. He wouldn't listen to the preacher. Knew everything. You ever wonder why God put a preacher in front of you, stand up here and scream and holler and sweat and slobber and scream his lungs out? You think that's an accident? Some of you are getting quiet now. There's a reason for it. It's because of that verse. He said, God will not suffer you to be tempted above your ear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Maybe that's why God's having a preacher preach to you so hard, trying to make a way of escape so you can see. Amen. Better escape it. God's letting a man preach to you to tell you there's a way of escape, but you better avoid it. Better watch out. Amen. I'm trying to help you. In the hour of temptation, there is a God in heaven who will help you to escape the temptation. Joseph escaped Potiphar's wife by the skin of his teeth. You know what? He lost his coat, but he kept his character. But he barely made it. But he stayed in jail for a few years. He still wound up in jail even though he didn't do nothing. He still ended up in jail. Number three, when nothing in this world seems to make sense, there's a God in heaven keeping a record. Preachers who lie, listen to this. Preachers who lie, have affairs, one woman after another, and have crowds follow them. TV evangelists have false teaching, make millions. You think about this. I know preachers personally. And I'm not picking on preachers this morning, but I know preachers. I know these guys. I've known preachers that's had affairs with women in their churches, one right after the other, and still got big crowds following them. God's keeping a record of that stuff. You say, preacher, how they get away with that? They ain't getting away with nothing. God's keeping a record. The abortionists, 55 million since Roe versus Wade. Listen to this. Our government is so messed up. The man in Cleveland, Ohio, that kidnapped those three girls and kept them over 10 years and raped them and molested them and all that. One of those women was, he impregnated and he stomped her belly. Y'all remember hearing this? Until she had caused a miscarriage and the baby died. What? Wait a minute. if he put her in the car, took her to the abortion clinic and Huckner's clinics. If what he did is murder, then all the other 55 million that we've killed since 1974 ought to be charged for murder. You think they'll put me on CNN for what I just said? I don't think so. When nothing in the world seems to make sense, the Supreme Court justices seem to don't even know what they're doing. They don't know right from wrong. But God's keeping a record. People would rather hear a lie than to hear the truth. Amen. When saying filth publicly is laughed at and making fun of God is laughed at, but when you preach the Word of God soon in the next few years, we'll probably be executed. Amen. For preaching against sodomy and homosexuality. When people want to go to church where their soul is being damned by a false prophet rather than hearing the real Bible preaching, the Bible said these days will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. When the president of a God-fearing nation, Christian-born nation, bows down to heathen kings and says men can marry men, and the Bible which this nation was founded on is banned from our schools, and our little kids are taught that it's normal for a kid to have two daddies or two mommies, or that they descended from monkeys, and that there's no God, be assured that there is a God in heaven that's keeping a record, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, when nothing makes sense, I promise you there's a God in heaven that's watching every move being made. Number four, I want you to know this. When your enemies seek to destroy you, there's a God in heaven. As a preacher, I don't have an enemy in this world. I want you to know this. If you live by the standard of this book right here that we hold in our lap, you'll have some enemies. Amen. Y'all remember about a year ago or a year and a half, I had Miss Kim put something on that sign out there. We live in the land of the free, right? Freedom of speech. What amendment is that? We put that on the sign about homosexuals. And they threatened to kill us. Threatened to burn us out. All kind of stuff. All I put out there is some scripture on the sign. Now, how crazy is that? I had people call me. I had one of them call me and left a message on my answer machine. And he said, Pastor Wilcox, what you put on your sign was very offensive. That is not very nice. He said, I hope you burn in hell. What I said wasn't nice, but he just told me to burn in hell. Now, brother, I'll tell you, that's how messed up we've got. Think about that. Lord, have mercy, people. When your enemies seek to destroy you, there's a God in heaven. I mean, they feature us on CNN website, a little church down here in nowhere, America. There's a woman in Minnesota called me on the phone, proceeded to cuss me out. I said, wait a minute, sister. What's your name and phone number? She said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, but, well, you don't have a right to cuss me out until I know your name and phone number. I might want to cuss you back. That ain't fair, is it? Is that right? I mean, you know my name and number. You got my personal number. And you're just lit into me before I even know who you are. I'm not going to tell you who I am. Two different women. One was in Ohio and one was in Minnesota. Now, how does a person in Minnesota get offended if something happens in South Georgia? A town nobody's ever heard of. Just because of something we put on the sign out there. I didn't say I hope nobody's dead. I don't want to kill somebody. You put a verse of Scripture out there. All I said was homosexuals can't reproduce. They recruit. Amen. Then we put a verse of Scripture out there. Bam! Oh, you know what broke loose? We was in a war. And you know what? The next few years, it's going to get worse than that. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong, brother. It's going to get to where you can't even voice your opinion in private without them coming after you. You remember in Lot's day when Lot, those two men came to visit Lot. Dave was busting his door down and he was going to send his two daughters out to him. And that's busting his doors down. If it hadn't been for those two angels blinding those sodomites, they wouldn't have got out there alive. That's where it's coming to. But there's a God in heaven who'll take care of us. Even when our enemies seek to destroy us. Number five, remember, Christian, when you fall into sin, there's a God in heaven. 1 John 1:9. What does it say? Anybody know? The Bible said He's faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now listen, I already talked about temptation. Christian, saint of God, when you fall into sin, listen, young people, I've had one of the young people come to me the other day and said, Preacher, messed up. I made a mistake. You know what I told my daddy used to always tell me, Brother Sam? Real simple. When you mess up, just ask God to forgive you and try not to do it again. Hey, you don't have to have a theology degree to figure that out. If you say a bad word or if you make a mistake, if you say, God, I ain't never going to do it again, say, I ain't never going to smoke a cigarette again, and then you pick one up and light it, smoke it, don't just fall off the wagon and go buy a carton. Just put that down and say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I didn't mean to. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to ever do it again. And try not to ever do it again. Don't just give up. Just say, God, I'm sorry. And if you really repent and you really mean it from the depths of your heart, God, I'm sorry, and really repent, the Bible said He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
Amen.
You know what we do? We go to God and we say, Lord, we don't want to repent because we don't feel like we've been punished enough. But that ain't the way it works. You see, we're not Catholics. Catholics believe you've got to punish yourself. You've got to do penance. We're Bible believers. We don't have to punish ourselves. That's what He did on the cross for us. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All the punishment and the bruising and the stripes and the blood and everything was put on Him for you. You are a royal priesthood. You can go into the throne room of God freely because of Him. You don't have to punish yourself. All you got to do is be sorry you sin. That right there puts you into the throne room automatically. That's why you pray in His name, because He did all the suffering. It's not that just saying His name's magic. It's because of He did it all for you. He's your mediator. You say, Lord, in Jesus' name, automatically that gets you into the throne room. And you have access to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. He says, okay, because Jesus already paid for it. The Lord don't just sit there on His throne and say, well, you know, I don't think you're really sorry enough yet. I don't think you've done enough. No, don't work like that. If you really mean it and you're sorry, you say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. He says, you're forgiven because it's already paid for. Ain't that wonderful? And when you understand it like that, it just gives you hope. It's a refreshing. I mean, knowing that tomorrow, if you sin, not that you want to, but if you sin tomorrow, all you got to do is repent tomorrow. And you're forgiven again. Hallelujah. People say, well, you Baptists think you just got a license to sin. No, we don't have a license to sin. We don't go out and mean we're going to go out and try to sin. But if we do, we know we're forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Lastly, while he comes to the pen, let me say this. Lost sinner, if you're here today and you're not saved, when all hope is gone, there's a God in heaven that'll save you. Some of you here this morning might have got saved when you was little or when you was young, but some of you might have been grown or teenagers. You might have remembered how hopeless it was. Some of you might have heard me tell about when I got saved. I remember the night I got saved like it was yesterday. Gosh, I remember my daddy telling me about when he got saved. Before he died, I remember him telling me when he was in the nursing home. I used to love hearing him tell about that. But I remember the night I got saved, Brother Sam, I thought about running my car off a bridge, killing myself, because I thought, if this is all there is to life, I mean, I partied, you know, and had all that fun. See, when you get to be a teenager, you think, I'm just going to go out and have me some fun. I'm tired of all this. I'm just going to go party a while. I'm going to live for me. But after a while, that living for me gets old, don't it? I don't know how long it lasts, Brother Sam. But it don't last long, really. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. How long is a season? I don't know. 30 days, 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year. It gets old quick, though. Your body starts feeling it. Your mind starts feeling it. And that guilt starts creeping up on you. Especially if you was raised in church and you feel that weight on you. I remember sitting in, being in parties. You ever done that? You ever been in a party? Some of you used to live wild. And you can feel conviction on you. You feel that heavy weight. I remember sitting in a bar in North Carolina, a real busy bar, and the music playing real loud, the place filled with smoke, and I was sitting on a bar stool. And I felt like I was the only person in that. It felt like the Twilight Zone, like I was the only man in that place. I was sitting on that bar stool, almost, like they'll say, in three sheets and a wind. I'm ashamed of that, and I ain't proud of it. And I remember I was sitting there, and my heart felt like there's a hole in it that big. best people ever, and there's a live band playing. I thought, man, I wish I was dead. And then another thought come to me, but if you was dead, you know where you'd be. You'd be in hell, boy. And in my mind, I could hear my daddy up preaching. And I could hear my mama sitting at the piano singing. Something said, that's where you really need to be. Amen. That's where your heart's at. That's where you really, that's where the good life's at.
Amen.
I was so miserable. Gosh, I was miserable. I hated life. I had everything I wanted. I had a souped-up car. And I had girls. I was a good-looking chap, boy. I was. Today's my birthday. I'm 55. Back then, I was 18. I look exactly like Ric Flair. Anybody knows who Ric Flair is? Yeah, that was my nickname, Nature Boy. I was all muscled up, had long blonde hair. I was good looking. I could have any girl I wanted. That's true. Go back to North Carolina, ask any of my buddies. I ain't bragging. Any girl I wanted. And I could talk trash. Even if the looks didn't get them, I could talk trash. I could talk the girl out of her boyfriend while he's going to the bathroom. I'd go get her in my car and take off. That's the truth. I am not making that up. I'm up here in a pulpit preaching, y'all. I'd be afraid God strike me dead. He'd be shooting bull. He'd go get changed for dollars. Hey, babe, you going to go for a ride in my new car? I got a dune buggy out here. You ever run the dune buggy? No, do you really? Well, we'd take off. I got a lot of fights. But anyway, but I was miserable, brother. Unhappy, miserable. But I remember that night when I got saved. I found something that I'd been yearning for and looking for my entire existence. And it filled that longing, and it filled that yearning. And immediately, it's like I finally knew. And it was like, it's like a light came on. And you might be that at that place this morning, and you can have all the fun in the world, and you'll never find it. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus. The Bible said, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That night I got down to pray. I remember what I said. I said, Lord, if there's any way you can do anything with somebody like me. And that's all I remember saying. I didn't pray a sinner's prayer. My daddy was a preacher. I didn't repeat a prayer. Nobody got down to the Bible and opened it up and started showing me stuff. I already knew all that. I knew exactly what I needed to do. But something happened in here. I repented. But there's a God in heaven this morning. He'll save you. Let's stand this morning.